Welcome back to the Cine Bros podcast. Once again, I have Ray and Luke with me. Guys, say hello.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
Luke, you sound a little different today.
Yeah, I'm just feeling a little under the weather.
Wait, you're not Luke?
God, that's so corny. That's so dumb. I hate that. Oh, man.
If you're still listening after our very, very awful intro, then welcome back to the Cine Bros podcast. We're glad that you have patience with us. But yes, that's not Luke. We have Tristan with us again today. Do you remember Tristan from our 2001 episode? Tristan, do you want to say hello?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me back, guys.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, I'm so excited for this episode. I think it's going to be really good. But Luke is not with us today. Luke has to work at 5:30 in the morning tomorrow. So he has big boy obligations. But today, we are just going to be winging it. So we all worked at a movie theater, right? And we're just going to tell stories from the movie theater. You know, funny things that happened to us, crazy things, awful customers.
So many awful customers.
But so many good ones at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, man. There are so many. Like Sean. Oh, I love Sean.
Sean?
Yeah.
My girlfriend's dad?
My friend?
No, not Scene. And not Sean, but yeah, Mackenzie's dad.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think the best way to do this, and we'll see where we're at time-wise, but I think this is the best plan of action so far is we each tell three stories, and each round someone tells their best story and the other two tell like minor stories. That sound good to you guys?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds fine with me.
All right. So
I still have to think of my stories, though. I'll probably go second as you guys are going. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go first.
Tristan, do you mind if I go first?
Go for it.
And, you know, I'm going to open with my strongest story first because I think it's just so funny and it'll be a nice way to start the episode off. So to take it back, right, this is like basically when I just started working at the theater. This is back probably late 2017, I think. I can't remember if I started working there in 2016. Tristan, did we start working there in 2016 or 2017?
2016. You started working there a day before me. Okay. I worked there like October 29th.
All right, so this is late 2016 then. And our boy Luke features in this story. Ray, I don't know if you know this one or not, so this one might be new for you. And I'm not going to use people's names, their actual names, when I'm telling my stories. So we had a girl working there. We'll call her Tabitha. And she was this blonde, super tan Cali wannabe girl. And she was a terrible worker, but she was entertaining to work with because something always went wrong. And on the day that this story happens, it was just me and her out behind the concession stand. Everyone else had gone on break. Luke was on break at this point. He was in the back break room. So it's just me and her out there, and we're just kind of, like, talking, right? When all of a sudden, the door opens, and we hear, like, a pitter-patter of feet going, right? So we both look up, and I kid you not, there is, like, a 300-pound 10-year-old boy that has just ran into the theater.
I don't remember the story.
when I say ran, I mean full steam ahead, feet pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter on the thing. And we look up, and his family of elephants.
Tyler!
I've just walked in behind him, right? And they come up.
Oh my God.
And Tabitha has just looked at me with just like a mixture of fear and disgust in her eyes. And so this family comes up and they start to order. And they order so much food. Like, they order like 5 large popcorn, 7 large
Jesus
drinks,
Christ.
Candy, all of this stuff. And, you know, we're getting the popcorn from the popper. And Tabitha just turns towards me and just whispers, "This is not healthy. This is disgusting. This is so bad." And I'm just kind of chuckling, right? So we give the people their food. And as I've turned away and Tabitha's ringing them up. And all of a sudden I hear a commotion, like, behind me. And I hear like a bang, a bang, a bang, a bang from behind me. So I turn around and this kid has grabbed the straw holder, the metal straw holder from the counter and is banging it on the counter. And his mom is trying her best to calm him down. And he just keeps doing it. Eventually, she tries to grab it away from him. And just like a movie, in almost slow motion perfection, the straws fly out of the holder in a near perfect arc above this woman's head and go everywhere. Everywhere. And me and Tabitha just kind of look at each other and we're like, "Oh God." And the mom is trying to like apologize to us, and she'll clean it. We're like, no, we'll take care of it. Cause, you know, we just want these people gone. Like, we want these people gone as soon as possible.
I've been in that mood so many times to where I'm just like, just leave, just get out of here.
Yeah. And so they leave, right? And we're talking about how, like, bad those people were, when all of a sudden, pitter patter feet again.
Their cousins walked in.
No. So we look over. The kid is running back towards the concession stand. Clutched in his fist are like a wad of money. And we look up, and his mom is chugging along behind him, very visibly out of breath. It's a pathetic sight to behold. And
pathetic.
I really hope we don't have any overweight listeners, because they're going to be very offended.
That's a whole audience that Tyler's just throwing out the window.
Gone.
whole demographic.
Anyway, this was the time that we had banana ices still. And this kid.
Oh my God, I miss banana ices so much. That's a side note.
I never got to try that.
They weren't good, honestly. I didn't like them at all.
Shut up. They were amazing. If you like banana flavored things, you would love banana icy. Anyways, I'll let you continue.
Anyway, this kid is screaming, "Banana icy, banana icy, banana icy, banana icy. Like, give me a banana icy, banana icy." And Tabitha just looks up with the same mixture of just fear and disgust on her face as she takes this kid's order. Right? And he's throwing money on the counter. And it turns out he doesn't have enough money. It's like $4.25 and he has like $3. So him and his mom have to run back to the theater in the same just pathetic display of glory and get more money. And Tabitha is just seething under the surface, right? So they come back, they get their money. And I go prepare their icy. And I come back and bring it to them. And I turn around for a split second. And I hear another commotion. And I turn back around. This kid has squeezed this icy cup so hard.
God.
The lid has flown off. And icy has went everywhere. And it is all over the long sleeves of Tabitha's work shirt, which is white, which is blistering white. And you know, this ice is like neon. And
the icy is hard to get off.
It is. And it's like a neon yellow icy.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's like a neon yellow icy. So I can tell that she is just about to rage as soon as these people leave. And so I go and remake the icy. The mom is trying to apologize again. And we get them out when they go away, right? And Tabitha just unleashes a torrent of just insults at these people. And she's complaining about how long it's going to take to get off. She goes to the sink and she's washing like her sleeves off vigorously. Well, at some point, as she's doing this, she decides that she needs to go to the break room to dry herself off. So she opens the door to the break room. And who happens to be there but Luke? And not just Luke, not just Luke. In his hands, he had a large open cup of red cream soda. And as Tabitha opens the door, she startles Luke. And he kind of jumps and they collide. And red cream soda goes all down the front of her shirt.
Oh my God.
Of course it was Luke too.
Of course it was
literally
Luke.
Could have
of
been. I could have maybe seen it being you, Tyler. You or Luke, but that's the only two people I could have seen it being.
That door is cursed. I can't tell you how many times I hit people with that door.
You and Luke are the clumsiest workers of all time.
Yeah, we are. But there's a split second of silence, and then it's like a banshee has appeared in the lobby as Tabitha screams at her loudest at Luke. And she is screaming like, look what you've done. How am I supposed to get this off? Give me your shirt. Take off your shirt and give me your shirt.
she just stripped Luke and took his
poor Luke too. I can picture him. He's literally just standing there not knowing what to say.
Like Luke, scared. Like Luke now probably like knowing him, he would have like, oh God, no, you can just deal with it. But Luke then, oh my God, I can just, he's already unbuttoning it before she says anything.
For sure.
And Luke is just standing there, terrified. And he's like, I can't give you my shirt. I need to wear it. Like, I can't give you my shirt. And she just lets out a shrill shriek again and just pushes Luke out of the way. And storms from the concession area. And she goes to the bathroom for 30 minutes and does not come out. When she comes out, she is so wet. She looks like a drowned swamp rat.
I can only imagine, like, like being there in that moment.
I'm really sad.
I would have been clowning Luke the entire time, like, just laughing at him.
We did.
Story where we clown Luke. I've got a good one for later.
All right. So who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right, Ray, what do you got for us?
Okay, so this is kind of less of a funny story than yours. Now, looking back on it now, it's more funny than it was at the time. But I'm definitely going to tell my pass out story as my best story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a dark turn.
So I'm clocking into work. This is like when COVID's first starting to like come to America, I guess. It's in like March. And it's just me and one of our assistant managers working. No one else is in the building. We're completely dead. There's no customers, nothing. And we're just chilling behind the counter, chatting it up like we normally do. And my eyes just go completely black. Like, I'm dizzy. I can't stand.
I'm sorry,
I can't stand up straight. I'm completely dizzy. And I just start, like, she's, like, showing me this article on her phone, and I just put her phone down, and I just walked into the back. And thank God she followed, like, she knew something was up, because she followed me into the back, and, like, she kept trying to talk to me, and, like, I was like in the middle. In the middle of grabbing a chair to sit down.
Tristan, you're laughing at Ray potentially dying.
I was sorry, he didn't die. He's right here.
I thought I was dead. To us. So I grabbed this chair, And I like, I completely like, I just go down at this point. Oh, I used her name. Well, Tyler can edit that out. He's a
get us a censor beep.
You want me to go back, Tyler?
No, we can just use a censor beep like Tristan said. That'll be funnier.
Okay, okay. True.
And then, so, and then we can get, and then we can get Ray going, oh.
So she grabs the chair out of my hands, and she, like, I guess she ended up setting me in the chair somehow. I'm like, I'm honestly unconscious at this point, like unresponsive completely. And I think, like, I wake up and I'm like just laying down on the break room table, and like I'm just sprawled out on the break room table.
I'm sorry, it's
this
okay.
is a serious if anybody, story.
If anybody, I think it's funny too.
It is funny. I remember coming into work that night. Wasn't that? Did you work a day shift?
Yeah. Well, no. You were. It was supposed to be me, you, and Lexa, and you ended up having to close for me because I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember coming in and like Ray passed out, so he's not here. And I was
I've
like,
never
what?
Seen like that freaked out ever.
Also, she. Can I just say, there's going to be so many sensor beeps during this, and it's going to be hilarious.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for this. But anyway, I wake up, I'm sprawled out on the break room table, and the break room table is literally drenched, covered in my own sweat. I don't know how all this happened to me. The doctor said my blood sugar dropped. Like, they gave me IV, I went home, I was fine. But I wake up calling everyone in her phone book right now, like trying to Luke. I don't know if it was Luke that showed up. Somebody else came. The ambulance shows up. My grandparents didn't even answer until I got on the ambulance and called myself.
Ray's on a stretcher.
I didn't go on a stretcher. I walked to the ambulance. But yeah, that was the story of how I almost died.
That was
a good one.
It was like so weird to walk in and. Like, of all the things I could have heard
Where's
Lexa
Ray?
Say to me. Yeah, I was like, where's Ray at? He's like,
oh Ray died.
Out. He's not going to be working anymore. I was like, what?
30 minutes ago, actually.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all know me. Nobody ever really covers my shifts. I'm always there for my shifts. Except for the first day, I was 30 minutes late.
45 minutes late, actually.
I was the same way.
No, you weren't, Tristan.
My second day. Sorry. Oh,
okay. I remember what Tyler said about me on my first day. Eli told me, he said, 45 minutes late, not a good look.
That's exactly what I said. I remember.
And now look at us.
Now it's my turn. Oh, God. I'm probably not going to start out with my best one because.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not supposed to?
No, my God. Was that your best story, what? Ray?
I don't. That was the only one I could think of. I'd have to think
you,
of another
you
one.
You got two more, Ray.
Sure
you got
will.
Two more.
I'll try.
I'm sure you got it, Ray. Don't worry. We had plenty of times, especially when me, you, and Scene just go for like 30 minutes. All right, so my story I'm going to tell, it involves me and a good old friend of mine who was there during my prime named Jeffrey James.
Jesus Christ, we've been doing first and last names? My God.
I'm sure if he was listening to this, he would think it's the funniest thing ever. I'm knowing Jeffrey, he would not care. So me and him are both working usher. It's a day shift. And just chilling there, you know, normal day. And this family of four comes up, mom, dad, and two kids. One of them's like 9 and the other one's like 14 or something. And they go into The Greatest Showman. So we're just chilling there. And the next thing you know, this mom storms out of the theater. And keep in mind, The Greatest Showman was in like the last one in the hallway. And so she's like, she's storming the entire way to us. And she says, I need to speak to a manager right now. At that time, I was just an usher. So I was like, well, is there anything I can do to help you? She said, no, it's about the trailers they're showing in these movies. And I was like, oh, gosh, okay. So I go get the manager at the time. He comes out, and the woman, she's like, I came to show my kids this marketed as a PG-13 movie, or a PG movie, The Greatest Showman, and they're showing a trailer for that Love, Simon movie. It's PG-13, and she could not handle the fact that her 9-year-old and 14-year-old just saw two dudes kissing, okay? And she was on the verge of tears about it. She was like, I just exposed my two young children. And like, the girl's literally 14 years old. And if she hasn't heard about gay people by now, then like, I don't know what is going on in her life. To where
to that mom's
that
obstructionism if she hasn't.
Yeah, right? And so the mom's just going, nuts.
And it's like, man, we don't control the trailers. It's the movie studio that sends the trailers to us. And she just flips out for another 15 minutes. And she eventually shuts up and just goes back into the movie and watches The Greatest Showman. But, God, she couldn't. She was just losing it. And me and Jeffrey were pissing ourselves laughing. We were just standing like 10 feet away from them, just giggling the entire time.
That's not inconspicuous at all.
No, yeah, not at all. God, yeah, that was – I remember that one distinctly. That guy was – Jeffrey James, what a guy. He was probably better than Ray.
They were similar, honestly.
Yeah,
they were. There's never been another employee like me, ever.
Whatever you say, man, whatever you want to believe. Yeah, that's about it for that story, though.
Okay, so I guess it cycles back to me.
Yeah, we can do that.
So, for reference, I'm 21. Just want to get that out there right now.
And I already know the story. I already know exactly where it's going.
And there was one night, and it was over this summer, summer 2019. That sounds right. And a movie called Stuber was out as the Dave Bautista comedy movie. And it was like the movie started, I want to say at like 9:30, right? Well, it was 9 o'clock and this group of three kids walked up. I can't remember how, but I found out their ages. I don't know how. But there's an 18-year-old boy, a 15-year-old girl, and a 13-year-old boy. And they were all siblings. And Tristan, you know, you and I were at the podium, and these kids come up, and, you know, of course, Stuber rated R, so they couldn't see it. And the oldest boy, the 18-year-old, he understood that just fine. And the 13-year-old boy, he understood that just fine. But as they were walking away, I heard the 15-year-old girl ranting about it. And, you know, they left. And, you know, that happened. That's a normal occasion where we turn away underage kids to R-rated movies. That nothing about that is, like, out of the ordinary. What is out of the ordinary, however, is half an hour later, the door to the lobby is thrust open, and these three kids re-enter with Mama Bear leading the pack, storming to the podium.
And this was the last showing, too, wasn't it? It was late at night. We were right up. I was just about to leave.
Yeah, and I instinctively take a step forward to the podium to brace for impact of this woman. And this woman, she's not like walking briskly to the podium. She is straight up storming to the podium with long sweeping hand and leg motions. And she gets within 10 feet of the podium before she starts screaming. At no point in this altercation is she not screaming. So she is like, what's this about? You're not letting my kids go watch a movie? And our usher, who we'll call Pedro for whatever reason, is not even remotely close to his name. It's not even the same race, actually.
Wasn't though.
Gotta love Pedro.
It was the teacher, Ray.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's also not Mexican. Not even close.
Very far from it.
Very, very far from it. Pure white as you can be. But we're going with Pedro because that's the first name that came to mind. So this guy, he's older. He's like mid-40s, and he's a special ed teacher. So he's very – and he was in the military. So he's very well-trained in conflict resolution. Well, he's like, well, ma'am, you know, it's an R-rated movie, and they have to have a parent with them. You know, it's not our policy. It's the MPAA's policy. Every theater follows these same rules. He's like, are you watching it with them? Because if you're watching with them, there's no problem. You all can go in and watch it. And she's like, no, I'm not watching it with them. You're going to let them in and watch the movie. And he's like, ma'am, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, it's policy. You know, there's a big fine behind it. And she's like,
I can just imagine his calm voice. As calm as can be.
It was like a knife through butter, so smooth. And she is like, but I'm their mom. And he's like, well, yes, but you know, the policy states parent has to be with them. So, like, if you want to go buy a ticket, everything's cool. Like we'll have no problem if you just go buy a ticket. And she is just not understanding. So, you know, me and all my managerial talents decided, you know, to step up and basically repeat the same thing that Pedro has just said. Well, she does not understand, and she basically says the same thing. So, like, like, they're my kids. And like, he's 18. And I'm like, yeah, well, ma'am, yes, I understand that. But again, it's, you know, it's not our policy. It's the MPAA. Like, there's a $5,000 fine if we get audited or something and they find underage kids in the movies. Like, it's a fairly big deal. And, you know, I'm very calm. Been very calm this entire time, even though this woman is just screaming in my face the entire time. Well, so a little tidbit about myself. The one, I'm normally a very calm natured person, but the very, very easy way to get me like truly upset is to like talk to me in a condescending manner. And we go back and forth for a few more minutes. And this woman finally, she takes a step forward towards me, pokes her finger in my chest and points towards the box office. And she says, well, you need to go tell that girl up there that policy because she obviously has no idea, because the box office worker had sold the kids tickets. But that motion just set me off. And the only time I've ever yelled at a customer, I just told her to get out. I said, get out. Like, you can either go buy a ticket and see the movie with them, you can go switch your tickets, or you can leave. Like, it's not that hard. I don't care. Like, get out. Like, you've been yelling for 5 minutes.
I remember that too. I was standing right there and you were fuming. It's not like whenever I work with Tyler, I don't like ever see him angry, but by God, he was fucking pissed. Oh, I can't really cuss that much. He was freaking pissed.
Don't edit that out.
I won't.
I'm sorry. It's so instinctive for me to cuss. I apologize.
So, and she's like, well, who's the manager? I want to talk to your manager. And I got to do it, guys. I got to do it. I got to do the one thing that every manager wants to do. I took a step forward towards her, poked my finger in my chest, said, I am the manager. I am.
And then everybody around you literally died.
Thanos snapped his finger.
It's exactly what it was like. You just Thanos snapped this Karen.
And this woman lets out a shriek and she says, well, you look 12. And
I remember, it's like she thought that was a good comeback.
And there was like a nice pause between that too. She was like trying to come up with that in her head, and that was the best thing she could come up with. Well, she like, you know, turned on her heel and walked away. But before she walked fully away, she turned around one last time and flipped us all off. And it took me a good 2 minutes to simmer down. And it was, I only simmered down because one of our sisters made a joke about it. It just lightened the mood.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun one. There's quite a few Karens that you see come through that place.
That was one of those entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, you want to go next?
Sure. Yeah, I guess it is back to me.
All right, who wants to like tell the best story this round? You or Tristan?
Okay. Well, who wants to guess which story I'm about to tell?
Oh, I don't know. God. I don't know many of yours, I don't think.
Let me think. Am I there? Did I work?
Crazy things didn't really happen to me while I was at work. It was more of like, it was just like more like good times. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We always had good times.
But this story, I mean, it's not me and a customer. It's literally me and one of our coworkers.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I know this story.
Yep.
I definitely
and
know
it's,
it.
And we just got done closing up. I just got done counting the inventory, and I'm sure I did something else because there's no way I'm doing just one job. But we're clocking out, getting ready to leave, and one of the coworkers that's with me this night, she's a girl, her name is freaking, we'll say it's Mallory. Her name's Mallory.
Okay. Oh, so, I know. Oh, I know. Okay. I know. Okay. Oh,
so we're clocking out. We're both walking out. Well, actually, she had already walked out like a minute before me. I was like getting a drink or something. And apparently some drunk guy had been out there because our movie theater is right next to a bar and grill. And she says that she was trying to tell me that some drunk guy was out there like trying to mess with her before I walked out or something. Freaking, I didn't hear her end up getting it out. The words, so I mean, I just walk out the door and she tries to talk to me and I just straight up walk past her and say, don't talk to me, I'm off the clock. Like, just straight up, just.
And so she, if anyone wants to know what type of person Ray is,
and like,
But it was, I wasn't doing that just to be mean. I was actually doing that as a joke. Like, it was genuinely a joke.
Poor girl could have been drugged and kidnapped, and you
everyone moved her. She went. She goes home and she snitches on me to her sister,
who also works there.
Who also works there. And her sister goes and tries to tell on me to the manager to get me in trouble. So next day I'm walking into work and I'm like, our manager walks up to me. He's like,
"No, it wasn't your, it wasn't the manager, dude. It was me.
It was you and him.
No, it was just me. I remember because I didn't want to go to."
Well, somebody was trying to confront me about it. Ended up confronting me about it one day.
No, he may have, yeah.
Well, he didn't confront me like in a mean way. He thought it was whole, like, so they walk up to me and they're like, "Hey, man, did you say this?" I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I was just joking." And they like, he literally thought it was one of the, he like started dying laughing whenever he found out that I actually said it.
And I remember I also pissed myself. I was like, fuck.
Their whole plan of snitching on me and getting me in trouble did not go well. It actually ended up being a good laugh for everyone, but even though I probably shouldn't have done that, it did end up being really funny.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it and I was like, "Oh my god, that's most such a great thing I've ever heard." I was like, "I'm not surprised in the slightest." It was a good one. I remember that whole.
Everybody like, was like,
3 days.
At least asked her and you know checked on her, and I was like, "I'm just getting out of there, man."
like I was off the clock.
I don't get paid to serve and protect. I get paid to pop popcorn and serve drinks.
I ain't no cop. Oh man!
All right, that's Tristan. A good one. Tristan, can you top that one?
Oh god, I don't think so because I love that one. That one, I love hearing that one. I do have one though, where I think I was either working by myself or the person I was working with went on break, and it was a day shift. I can't remember what day it was though. Out there by myself, sitting at the box office monitor behind the concession stand, and I see these three women walk out of a theater. And I can't remember what it was, but I don't think we had an usher there that day. So I remember I had to go clean it. But there was also this one other woman who was coming behind. And I thought they were all together maybe or whatever. And I'm standing at the box office and I hear somebody go, "Oh." And then I hear the other three women go, "Oh, no." And I peek over and this woman has fallen on the ground. And I'm like, "Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit." I run out there and I go check on her. I'm like, "Are you all right?" She's like, "Yeah, it's really slick over here or something." And I don't see a wet floor sign. I don't see a wet floor. I'm like moving my feet on it. And I'm not going to tell this woman she's wrong, but I swear to God, these three other ladies who were not like with her at all, they were like, "I don't know, honey. There's no slick stuff over here. I think you just tripped." And so I'm like, "Oh
those
my God."
Those women were not having it.
They weren't. And I was like, "Oh my God, this woman's going to try to sue us." I was like, "She's going to try to sue us because she fell on the floor." And, but she didn't really say anything else to me. And she kind of just like huffed and puffed a little bit and walked out. And so about an hour later, I remember George coming in and I was like, "Hey, this woman fell earlier. Do you mind if we like look on the cameras and see like what happened? Cause she said she slipped." And we walk back there and he's got that big, like 72 inch monitor. It's got all those screens on it. And he rewinds it, sets it there. And I swear to God, I watched this woman walk up to the bench over there by the party room, act like she's going to sit in it, and then just fall over. Misses the bench entirely, okay? And I mean, like LeBron James flops on the ground, okay? And it was the funniest thing I think I'd ever seen on those video cameras. It was so dumb.
Well, that's a long way down from potential kidnapping in the parking lot.
Right, yeah. It's not nearly as cool as potential kidnapping.
Okay, you guys have to stop saying it's a potential kidnapping because that makes me look like an awful person.
Well, Ray, in the situation,
it was not a potential. The guy wasn't even out there when I walked out there.
He could have had chloroform.
No. No.
Oh man. Good times. Right. I love that place.
Yeah, man. But my calf is cramping. Save me.
Randomly through this, Tyler just gets a Charlie horse.
Oh god. right, so I guess it is back to me, right?
Yes.
And I got another Karen story, just because so many Karens in this place. So we were training a new girl. This was literally like her second day, and we'll call her Jim. And
nice, that's a good name.
And me and Jim were, and that's J-I-M, by the way, not G-E-M.
Oh yeah, just clarify how to spell Jim.
just throwing that up there. I mean the masculine term for Jim. Yeah, so we're training, and I'm like, I think I'm helping someone else with their order. When all of a sudden she like taps me on the back and said, Hey, I messed up. Can you fix this? And I go and look, and the problem is she has like rung up two large popcorns instead of two large drinks. And the woman that she's serving is like giving her crap for it. And I don't initially understand what the problem is. First off, because Jim, you know, she's new. She has no idea what she did wrong. She's just as confused as I am. And the woman is doing a terrible job of like eloquating. Is that a word? Eloquating? That sounds like a word.
I think so. I think it is a word. I'm pretty sure.
I just made it up. If it's not, I just made it up and I trademark it. Yeah, she's having trouble eloquating what she wants. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. So I tell her like, oh, yeah, like that, like that's fine. She added two drinks to your order that you didn't have, and we'll fix it. She's like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, she attempts to like recreate the problem. And I'm like, huh? Because again, she is doing a terrible job of formulating what is wrong. So we keep going to start. I'm trying to explain what I think happened. She's trying to understand what she thought happened. And I'm trying to say she owes us more money because she didn't pay for what she actually had. And she's like calling me an idiot, basically. And she eventually just like pulls out her receipt. I don't know why she didn't do that to begin with. She pulls out her receipt and just like thrusts it in my face. And I look and I'm like, oh, okay. And what's happened is, like I said, she rang up two large popcorns instead of two large drinks, which is actually more expensive. So instead of this woman paying me, I actually owe this woman money. So I tell her that, and I start getting her money out, and she just starts freaking out on me. She just calls me an idiot and all this stuff. And like, she's like, are you the manager? Like, is there a manager here? And like, I had just gotten promoted like 2 days before. So like, I was, but I did not feel properly authorized. Another word in mention to, did I just use the word authorized and as opposed to authorized?
I think you did. And also, eloquating is a word, but it is not what you think it is.
What is it?
It's divide as a whole is when it's a verb, and when it's a noun, it's a portion of a larger whole.
That somehow works, probably. Any linguist that's made it this far in the episode, leave a message in the comments or on social media telling me why that I'm wrong.
Yeah, he's probably ticked.
Where did I leave off at?
You didn't feel like you had the authorization.
Yeah, so I'm like, let me go get my boss. So I went and got Big Mike, and I explained as best as I can the situation. And so he comes out and they go down there. I should have mentioned that this woman had her two teenage daughters with her, and they all go down there and I'm hear things. And this woman's trying to make it sound like I am like the rudest person ever. Like,
well, Tyler, to be honest.
Wow, man. I already kicked you off the show when you beat me in 2001. Don't make me kick you off again.
I'm just messing with you, bro. Gosh.
I'm gonna kick you from this Discord call right now. But yeah, so she is trying to make me out as like some sort of awful villain here. And of course Big Mike is not buying it. And eventually, you know, it's like he defused the situation, right? So everyone leaves, right? Well, then like half an hour later, the woman comes up again. And she's trying to make it sound like I overcharged her for something. And she's making a big deal. So I go get Big Mike again. And, you know, she's already left back to the theater at this point. So he goes into the theater to talk to her about it. He goes into the theater. her two teenage daughters pull out their cell phones and try to start recording him.
Oh my God, I had somebody do it. Oh, I hate when people do that.
Yeah, this is going to be like a multi-part series, by the way, and I just thought of another time where that happened to me, and I was like, oh God, I'm going to be on CNN tomorrow morning.
It's like Facebook. Oh God, whenever they come, they're like, I'm putting you on Facebook Live, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my second Karen story. Ray?
Karen's.
You know, I've been sitting here scrambling, trying to think of which one I'm going to tell. I know our third's supposed to be our best, but my third's not going to be my best. I've already told my best.
Yeah, you definitely already told your best.
Yeah, the point where you didn't stop a kidnapping.
Or when I passed out. Some crazy stuff has happened to me at Kyle.
Those are two really good ones.
I feel like there's been some other crazy stuff. I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm just going to tell the story. Tyler, you were here for this one, so it should be fun for you.
Okay.
So this is like probably 6 months ago. We had just gotten like Frozen 2. And when we get like big movies like Frozen, we get these like collectible popcorn tubs and cups that come with it. So we have this big, this was around Christmas time, I remember now, because around Christmas time we have kids who are in college that used to work there. They come back around the holidays to make a little bit of money. So it's me, Tyler, and my first ever friend at Kyle, Trey Clark. I'm going to use his name because he listens and he'd probably be cool with it.
I do love that guy.
But it's me, Tyler, and Trey Clark, and we're closing up shop. And I think we were, me and Trey. Trey was like, you know, well, when I work with Trey, much work doesn't really get done. Like, we get the stuff done, but we goof a lot. So, and Tyler was our boss, so we were definitely good. So he's like, yo, you throw me some paper towels? And for whatever reason, I throw these paper towels way
up. Oh, I remember this.
In the air. Yeah, way up in the air. And we have these like Frozen collectible tubs and stuff on display. And they cost like $10. So I hit one off. I hit the display one off. Way up, almost by the ceiling with the paper towels.
I can't remember. Was it the metal one or the plastic one?
It was the metal one, and it had a huge dent in it. Like, it was effed up bad. And you walk over there and you pick it up and you're like, whatever. Nobody's gonna buy it anyway. And me and you try and get the dents out of it, and we just end up putting it back on display with a huge dent still on it. And we just put the dent facing the other way.
You know what? We sold it the next day.
Did we really?
I think we did, because it was like the last one. No,
I really do recall ending up selling that thing too.
Yeah. So it all worked out in the end.
Bad.
It all came back around.
So Tristan.
Yeah.
It's your turn now.
So it was me and our old friend Luke and this other guy who worked there. We'll give him the name.
Harold.
Harold. That's a good one. That's a good one. Wouldn't that have been funny if that was actually his name? So it was me, Harold, and Luke. All chilling there. And Luke is in the back doing something. Oh, he was cleaning the soda machine trays. So whenever like there's spillage from the soda coming out, that's where that falls into and it goes into the drain. He was cleaning that in the back. Me and Harold were out there doing our job and we get a little busy. And all of a sudden this guy walks up and it was the worst smell I've ever smelt in my entire life. It was like a walking water treatment plant just came and walked into my face. And I was like, oh my God, this guy smells absolutely awful. So I'd go as fast as I can, holding my breath, getting this dude his popcorn and drinks. And he moves and he goes on. And then the next guy comes up and he smells the same exact way. And I'm like, what is this? Is this a convention for people who work at like sewage plants? And I'm like, what is going on here? And then when he leaves, the smell is still there and there's nobody else there. So I'm like, something's up. Something's wrong right now. And
that's how Tristan died from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I probably would have died if I stayed in that building a little longer. No, I'm just kidding. But so I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'd go tell George. Either me or Harold goes to tell George. And because the smell is not going away, trying to find the source of it, because it's only really on our two registers. And so we have no clue what it is. And eventually there's these drains on the floor that the soda machine, and whatever the spillage goes, it goes to this tube and goes to these drains, and they're disgusting. We clean them out, but they're just gross. So I lean down there, and of course that's where the smell's coming from, is from our sewer. And so I'm ready to throw up instantly. I'm like about to puke because it's so bad. And so whether or not this is true, I'm not 100% positive. But what we think caused it was Luke went and cleaned the trays in the back and clogged up the drains that way with all the syrup and whatnot. And so we are just messing with Luke.
So this is why Luke never lets me pour syrup into the drains.
This is exactly why Luke doesn't let you pour syrup
into the drains. Everyone else lets me, except for him.
And so we are now messing with Luke hard, and we're like, Luke, you clogged the drains, bro. You caused this absolute monstrosity of a smell in this lobby. And at this point, it's filling up the place. You can't escape it unless you're like by the door. And so, it was not fun. And at that same exact time, somebody clogged the toilet in the men's bathroom. And I just remember George with buckets of water, those big ice buckets we have of water, carrying them on that dolly he has, trying to dump them down the drain so that it can wash down whatever's there. And it's me, Luke, and Harold at the concession stand. And there's one moment where George looks out the door of the men's room, looks at Luke, and just shakes his head no, and then walks straight in. Luke was having a panic attack over it all. I bet Luke's soul left
his body after
that. Oh, he did. It was not fun, and we just kept messing with him. It was so good. Yeah, so that was the time Luke clogged the drains.
I can picture George giving Luke the no-no.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but that's one of my first, like, memories of something major happening that went wrong.
And I gotta say, I was watching a movie that day, and it smelled like death in the entire place.
Oh my god, it was terrible. It was easily the worst smell I've ever smelled. Not the worst, but it was like it. I mean, you couldn't escape it. You could not get away from it.
It's like top five.
Yeah, welcome to our top five worst smells.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
This was a good time. I do love Kiowa.
Trip down memory lane.
Oh, indeed. Absolutely.
It's a shame Luke couldn't be there with us, but trust me, this will become a multi-part series because we all have so many stories to tell.
Oh, God, yeah, we do. There's so many I left out just because I want to jump in on next time.
Yeah, we'll get Luke back to tell some of his stories next time. But yeah, we hope you've enjoyed this, like, this truly tangent episode where we just went completely off the rails. We hope that our stories have entertained you and made you laugh. If you like the kind of stuff that we do, you can follow us on social media at Cinebros Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, Cinebros P on Twitter. If you're on Reddit, we have our own subreddit at r/Cinebros Podcast. And if you want to follow our YouTube channel, if that's not where you're watching from already, you can just search for Cinebros on YouTube and look for our yellow reel icon and give us a subscribe. Anyone have anything else to say before we go?
Yeah.
I was gonna wait. I didn't have anything. I got nothing.
We're gonna cut it right there. We're gonna cut it right there.
It was just, yeah.